Do you know what the Stonewall riots were about?
I've never heard anything about it.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar. Gonna be a long,
hot summer from now on. I never have read about it, what exactly happened there, and the purpose of it.
No, I don't know nothing about it.
Are you ready for a story?
Yeah!
A story of our past.
At last!
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Swiss Partnership's plebiscite spurs unpleasant papal pronouncements, pride marches from Seoul to Warsaw, and what's a Stonewall and who was Christopher Street? The answers to those questions and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 11, 2005. Swiss voters this week heartily endorsed legal registered partnerships for same-gender couples in the world's first national referendum on that subject. The margin of victory was 58% to 42% from a turnout of 56%, considered strong in a nation where citizens vote frequently on issues. Swiss lawmakers approved the government's partnerships bill a year ago with support from most political parties, but a small religious right party, the Federal Democratic Union, collected more than 50,000 signatures to force the plebiscite. The partnerships law will not come into effect before 2007, according to Swiss President Samuel Schmidt, although some had expected it as early as the end of this year. Swiss partnerships will carry legal status equivalent to marriage for purposes including taxation, pensions, inheritance, hospital visitation, and financial responsibilities to the partner, and they can only be dissolved by a court. Foreign partners of Swiss citizens will gain residency, but their naturalization will not be expedited like a spouse's. The law specifically denies partners adoption rights and fertility treatments, and also denies one partner the right to assume the other's surname. Although the Federation of Protestant Churches in Switzerland supported the law, the Swiss Roman Catholic Bishops' Conference opposed it, and the strongest opposition among voters came in three heavily Catholic regions.
Roman Catholic Pope Benedict XVI made his first declaration against legal recognition of same-gender couples since his consecration on the day after the Swiss vote. Speaking at St. John's Cathedral to a Roman diocesan conference on families, while repeatedly referring to marriage as a union between a man and a woman, he said, "Today's various forms of dissolution of marriage, free unions, trial marriages, as well as the pseudo-matrimonies between people of the same sex, are instead expressions of anarchic freedom which falsely tries to pass itself off as the true liberation of man." He denied that the institutions of heterosexual marriage and family were social constructions of particular historic and economic conditions, placing their origins instead in the essence of man. Pope Benedict's remarks were condemned by lesbian-gay activists in Europe and the U.S.
The Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris was the scene of a lesbian couple's wedding this week in a demonstration of protest against Pope Benedict and his church. Agence France-Presse reported that some 20 members of ACT UP, one dressed as a priest to perform the wedding, staged the action on the first anniversary of the marriage of a gay couple by the mayor of Bégleux. The French government and courts intervened to punish the mayor and invalidate that marriage, creating a test case for marriage equality that's working its way through the legal system. The Notre Dame protest may also wind up in court, as a priest was slightly injured in a scuffle with the demonstrators and may press charges. Before security guards chased them out of the cathedral and tried to tear up their banner, the activists were chanting, "Pope Benedict XVI, homophobe, AIDS accomplice." Earlier the same day, the group also demonstrated outside Paris City Hall.
To the dismay of the religious right in Israel, the Knesset this week narrowly approved on its first reading a bill to grant inheritance rights to same-gender domestic partners if one dies without leaving a will, the Haaretz newspaper reported. A recent family court ruling had already interpreted the existing inheritance rules for so-called common-law spouses to include same-gender domestic partners, but the new bill would make that explicit. The 26-24 vote divided some parliamentary parties, but the religious right was solidly against it. Shaz Party Chair Eli Yeshai accused the Xinhui Party, which introduced and supported the bill, of trying to introduce norms that even animals abhor.
Those views aren't much further to the right than those of a man confirmed to a lifetime appointment on the federal appeals bench by the U.S. Senate this week. William Pryor won his judgeship for the 11th Circuit only after a 3-year battle by a host of civil rights groups and the opposition Democratic Party. He's the third of President George W. Bush's religious right nominees for federal judicial posts to be confirmed since the Democrats struck a deal with the ruling Republicans. The Democrats had previously tried to stop those nominations from coming to the floor, where their confirmation was assured by the Republican majority in the Senate. But the Republicans had seriously threatened to gut that venerable tool of minority dissent, the filibuster, and the Democrats agreed to let these nominations through in hopes of saving the filibuster for future nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. So Pryor has won his post, despite characterization by his opponents as a blatantly prejudiced extremist who has demonstrated hostility to lesbi-gay equality. While serving as Alabama's attorney general, he wrote an amicus brief supporting Texas sodomy law in the Supreme Court case that struck it down. He was the only state attorney general to do that, and the brief he wrote claimed a state interest in punishments exclusive to homosexual acts, which he compared to pedophilia, bestiality, and necrophilia. During the year, he already served on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals with a temporary appointment by the president while Congress was in recess. He cast the deciding vote as that divided bench upheld Florida's unique ban on adoptions by gays and lesbians.
Singapore officials have denied a permit for the fourth edition of the annual Nation Party, a gay event that reportedly drew 8,000 people last year and has generated tourist revenues worth millions of dollars. It's the third time in 6 months that Singapore has denied permits for major events of interest to gays, ostensibly out of concern to prevent the spread of HIV. But Nation organizers Friday.com and Jungle Media have now arranged to move the party from the Singaporean island of Sentosa to gay-friendly Phuket in Thailand in November. Phuket is grateful for the opportunity, with its main industry of tourism still severely depressed since the December tsunami.
Elsewhere this week, lesbi-gay pride marches on. In South Korea, the 6th Queer Culture Rainbow Festival climaxed with the annual parade through central Seoul, with some 400 marchers organized by the Korean Sexual Minority Culture and Rights Center.
In New Zealand, the first Christchurch Pride Week claimed a total of more than 1,000 participants for its various events, despite getting no attention from mainstream media. The event is expected to be annual.
In Italy, Milan's Pride March was watched by about 100,000 people. Marchers included several members of parliament and two provincial governors, Milan's own Filippo Pinati and Puglia's openly gay governor, Nitti Vendola. Along with a poster calling on the Pope to stop attacking gays, there was a little street theater. Two marchers in the uniforms of the Vatican's Swiss Guards escorting a chained woman wearing a banner reading, Secular Republic.
In Israel, Tel Aviv's Pride March attracted a crowd of nearly 90,000 people. Speakers at the rally included Tel Aviv's Mayor Ron Holdai and Xinhui Party leader Tommy Lapid.
And finally, in Poland, Warsaw notoriously denied permission for the Pride March that's the centerpiece of the Lesbi-Gay Equality Days events, apparently at the behest of Mayor-elect Kaczynski. Especially since this was the second consecutive year the city moved to block the event, the community was more avid than ever to have its equality parade. Pride organizers had previously hinted at a secret plan to legally evade the need for permits. It turned out that plan was to hold gatherings at 8 sites along what would have been the march route, and participants would just happen to walk from one to the next. And march they did, with police estimating participation at 2,500. The lesbi-gays were joined by Poland's Deputy Prime Minister Izabela Jaruga-Nowacka and Deputy Speaker of Parliament Tomasz Nalesz, who spoke at the opening rally outside the Parliament building. Those dignitaries dissented from the mayor's position, denounced homophobia, apologized to the community for the offensive style of the public discourse, and affirmed lesbi-gay civil rights, including freedom of assembly. The march was not without its dangers. Police counted some 300 counter-demonstrators who attempted to barricade the route. At least some of those were identified as right-wing nationalists, and they clashed with marchers at several points. Some threw eggs and stones at the marchers, injuring a police officer and two others. The mayor reportedly complained that the police were unfairly intervening in one kind of illegal demonstration to protect another, favoring the Pride contingent over their opponents. And he may have more to complain about, as Pride organizers intend to sue him.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 11, 2005, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
Once upon a time, not so long ago, it was against the law in most places to serve alcohol to homosexuals and illegal for members of the same gender to dance together. Still, with the June Pride Month tradition upon us, many people, especially the up-and-coming-out younger generation, know little about the pivotal event in the contemporary queer movement that changed everything. It's an annual question of pride. What's a Stonewall, and who was Christopher Street?
And festivals celebrating gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender pride are now held in cities all over the world practically all year round, but the tradition was born in June. Unfortunately, it's not surprising to discover that many people, even those who come out to enjoy the celebrations, don't know what event they're commemorating.
Do you know what the Stonewall riots were about?
I'm not real clear, I'll be honest with you. I never have read about it, what exactly happened there, and the purpose of it.
I've never heard anything about it. No, I don't know nothing about it.
So just what is this party all about? The significance of June 27, 1969 must be seen against the backdrop of life before that. A poem by Judy Gron from the classic Lesbian Concentrate album gives you some idea.
A history of lesbianism. How they came into the world, the women-loving women came in 3x3 and 4x4. The women-loving women came in 10x10 and 10x10 again until there were more than you could count. How they lived in the world, the women-loving women learned as much as they were allowed and walked and wore their clothes the way they liked whenever they could. They did whatever they knew to be happy or free and worked and worked and worked. The women-loving women in America were called dykes, and some liked it, and some did not. They made love to each other, the best they knew how, and for the best reasons. How they went out of the world, the women-loving women went out one by one, having withstood greater and lesser trials and much hatred from other people. They went out one by one, each having tried in her own way to overthrow the rule of men over women. They tried it one by one and hundred by hundred until each came in her own way to the end of her life and died. The subject of lesbianism is very ordinary. It's the question of male domination that makes everybody angry.
By the late 1960s, the anger of lesbians and gays was straining the locks on the closet doors, but something still held them back. This discussion was recorded at Pacifica Radio New York just 6 months before the historic event.
This is the New Symposium, a program from and for the homosexual community. I'm Baird Searles, and also on hand,
Kermit Lamb. I have felt, and I think I've changed even my thinking on this in the last 3 or 4 years, is that homosexuals aren't proud enough to be homosexuals and get out and you know, be militant a little bit and say I am, and a little like I'm glad to see now in the racial thing that Negroes now aren't just trying to get along like everybody else. They've seen beauty in their own blackness.
Yeah.
Black is beautiful.
It bears on what you're saying about being proud of homosexual, which I think even at now is a little much to ask of most people, but just being open about it. Since doing this program, and kind of because of doing this program and trying to find people to do this program back at the beginning, it has come so sharply to my attention the total lack of courage that the homosexual community has. And I know the reasons, damn it, and I've been through it myself. I think that is one thing you can really pin on all of you out there is cowardice. I know I'm going to get letters saying, okay, it's easy for you. You're not going to get fired from the station. But it hasn't been that easy. The feeling that I've totally lost contact with my father because of this program. Mm. And I know that people's lives can be ruined if they open up and reveal themselves. On an idealistic plane, we all know that if every homosexual said what he was tomorrow, that the whole situation would be changed for the better. Now, this is obviously a pipe dream. But for every homosexual that does open up and reveal himself, there are that many more people that realize that homosexuals are real, breathing human beings. They are not sex maniacs or freaks. That many more young people that are given the fact that a homosexual life needn't be a disaster.
I know a number of people who are under 25, say, under 20. They all seem to be much more relaxed. I hope it's a sign.
I don't know. So do I.
There's a certain feeling among many younger people of not caring who knows. They have straight friends who know, and I hope this is sort of indicative of something.
Say it loud! Say it loud! Say it loud! Say it loud! Say it loud!
June 27th, 1969, as recalled in Brett Artery's 1970 documentary.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street. Almost every homosexual who was in New York at the time of the Stonewall Rebellion has his own private memory of what took place. One of the longtime leaders of the gay rights movement, Craig Rodwell, remembers it this way.
The first night was Friday. I was on the way home from a friend's house. The raid was just starting at that time, and we noticed the crowd. We went over there, and a crowd was gathering out in front. There was a paddy wagon pulled up and a few people being taken out. It started with a few coins and pebbles being thrown at the police, and then the police retreated into the Stonewall. And then after the police barricaded themselves inside, it was like half an hour later, the riot police started moving up Christopher, breaking up the crowd, which had really become a very angry crowd with hundreds of bottles and rocks. There wasn't one window left in the whole place after about 10 minutes. And they broke the crowd up into small groups, and this went on for like 2 or 3 hours, back and forth in the whole area. I think they thought the people would just go home or run, especially since they were gay people. They're not used to gay people standing up at all, especially in front of police. But they would chase people away, and then they would go around the block and come in another way. And this sort of tug of war went on all evening. And then on Saturday night, it was much the same thing. Starting about 9, crowds started to gather in the area. And then around 11 or 12, they started taking over the street, and stopping cars from coming through, unless there were gay people in them. A few fires were set. But generally, there's an angry mood, a lot of chanting, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of assertion of being gay. It was a way of saying we're tired of hiding, tired of leading two lives, tired of denying our basic identity, denying ourselves. Newfound pride, really, a collective pride in their identity.
Another important outgrowth of the riots was the formation of numerous action-oriented homosexual groups in New York and around the country. They're composed for the most part of younger and more militant homosexuals.
It still is a relatively small minority of gay people who do reflect this new spirit, whatever you want to call it. But I think it's going to infect the masses of gay people in the coming years.
Gay power is here to stay, and nobody, nobody is going to ignore us any longer.
Hey Joe, get up and go, wouldn't like to tell you twice. Hey Mac, get off my back, didn't ask your advice. There's too much heat out in the street, telling us to move along. Gonna be a long, hot summer.
This is Gabrielle Antolovich reporting from West Hollywood for This Way Out. Do you know what the Stonewall Riots were about?
I know a little bit about them.
What do you know?
Well, supposedly some cops came into a bar, and some Long Beach cops, and
New York.
Okay. Well, anyway, whatever city. But anyway, they came into the bar and they were trying to break up the gays or whatever. And then the gays kicked their butt. That's what I heard.
I just heard like a whole bunch of drag queens just sort of like, you know, barricaded the whole half of the city and just, you know, took over for about a few days.
You know that it wasn't just drag queens, it was leather boys and lesbians and people of color, too.
Yeah.
You know anything about the Stonewall Riots?
I don't know a thing about them.
Well, what's the gay parade about?
I guess to celebrate the gay life.
Where you can touch in public and it doesn't, I guess, offend anybody, or you could just be yourself. You know that it's a yearly event to commemorate the Stonewall Riots that happened in New York.
No!
No, I knew it was Stonewall, but I didn't know why they called it that.
Maybe I don't know enough about my culture.
Are you ready for a story?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold the pass.
At last.
Story of faggots.
Story of dice.
A story of incredible size. Story of good.
Story of bad.
This story made us fighting mad.
His story.
time they pushed too far, their mission was to punish sin. They met a surprise at the Stonewall Inn.
Gay history rap. Stonewall Inn was a sleazy place. To get in, they had to know your face. Reason was mighty clear. You couldn't run a bar for queers. Prices inside were double. We paid them price. We didn't want trouble. Something was brewing inside. Faggots, dykes, feeling pride. Stage was set, people in place. Cops and queers face to face.
History rap. First three arrested were in drag, but these were not cringing fags. And a crowd gathered, seeing the scene, shouted support to those three queens. Through the door came one more queer, stocky little woman who knew no fear, screaming, kicking, punching pigs. Crowd gave a yell because she wasn't too big. Running and hiding was a thing of the past when this tough dyke started kicking ass. History rap. Tempers flared, the fun began when the crowd gave her a hand. Nickels and quarters fell down on the heads of those cops and all around. Feeling rage, cops hid in the very bar they were supposed to rid.
The crowd smashed down the door, fire spread across the floor.
Three days later, peace was restored. Hinges sprung on closet doors. History rap.
Maybe I don't know enough about my culture.
Sex and discos instead of rights.
Thank you and good night.
Thanks a lot. Happy
Thank
Friday.
You. Congratulations.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, and Rex Walkner contributed program material. John Gilbert Levitt, the Berkeley Women's Music Collective, the Tom Robinson Band, and Age of Consent performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please find out how you can help keep us on the air and get our tangible thanks by visiting our website, thiswayout.org, emailing tworadio@aol.com, or writing to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KSUA Fairbanks, Alaska, WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, 2NUR Newcastle, New South Wales, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Take pride and stay tuned.